Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. And today is August 12th, 2016, and I'm Julia Cannon, and I'm so excited to be here with everyone. And we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. First, I'd like to make a few announcements about our classes that are coming up. They're coming on fast and furious, like as in Monday, we start our next classes. We will be having our QHHT classes, our level 1Cs. That's our little new classes that we've started, that are a companion course that we to go with our online class. And if you want more information on that, just go online. But it's very, very popular now. And so that's starting up on Monday. And then we have classes coming up in Ireland, Dublin, Ireland, in September. The first part will be a level 2 and this level 1 companion course. And the first part of October, we're going to be in Toronto, Canada. And then in China and Singapore in December. So that'll be rounding up the year. And then, my goodness, I'm all over the place next year. So just stay tuned and to the websites. And if this is ever interested you to learn QHHT or to have a session, you know, just keep on looking into it. And that's what we're bringing to you tonight. But let's first, before we do that, I'd like to give out the call-in number in case you have any questions, or if you'd like to call in with anything. That number is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And if you do call in, I'd like you to make it after our special guest tonight finish their story, because this is such a remarkable story. I really want everyone to hear it, and then make your questions pertinent, you know, to their information here. Okay, so first of all, I want to bring in our practitioner, and that's our very special practitioner, Suzanne Spooner. Level 3 practitioner, and she's our director of our moderator of our forum, and very special, dear, dear friend, and all around great gal. So I love you. Suzanne Spooner, welcome aboard.
Hi, Julie. I love you too. Yeah. That was a nice introduction. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, soul sisters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And, so excited. We've been telling this story at a few of the classes because it's so wonderful. There's so many, it's such a great healing story, and it's such a wonderful story as to
the power of QHHT.
Absolutely. Because that's part of what we're teaching. It's in people. Well, one, they're wanting to know, well, like, where is QHHT going? And it is part of it. One of the things they ask, and then they're like, you know, what can you do with it? And then, and you're like, well, oh my God, you know, and can this, does this really work? And then what is this, you know, and then it's also, like you said, the power, and it's also about the scopes of it and all the levels of it. And I think that is what's so important here, is there are so many parts to this that I feel that it's so important that people understand, because I feel like, you know, it's probably about like, so, this is what happens so much. I get my mouth can't keep up with what comes in.
can I pop in a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, you know, I just think, you know, we practitioners, when we're talking to each other, well, you know, to us, miracles are commonplace. They happen in just about every session. And so we, you know, it's not that we take it for granted, but, you know, when we talk about QHHT and the possibilities, the probabilities that people can have complete and full healing and have relief from discomfort that they've experienced for a lifetime, you know, it just, it's done in these sessions. And this lovely person that we're going to speak with tonight is just such a beautiful example of somebody that was so far, you know, almost past the point of being, well, the doctors, I think, were past the point of saying that she was going to be healed. And just as such a testament of how powerful we are as souls to be able to understand our situation and how our lives can affect our bodies and how we have the opportunity to understand those lessons and then to heal the body, right?
Absolutely. And like you said, it's one to understand that you can do it, but then it's two when you have the whole world against you saying, the rest of the world saying, well, no, you're beyond, and no, it can't be done, and well, sorry.
Well, yeah, it's a complete lack of hope, you know, otherwise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have all of that, and then, then walks in someone saying, well, wait a minute, no, you can do it.
That's what makes tonight's story so special.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and bring in the third part to, well, actually, it's the two of you who are, you know, but I'm just going to be here and just kind of helping facilitate. And that's about all I'm going to do. I'm, you know, but you guys are the stars of the show here tonight. So let's bring in our other special guest. And it's your client, who we'll call Mary. Okay? Welcome, Mary. So glad to finally meet you.
Hello, ladies. It's so nice to meet both of you on Skype. This is the first time I'm doing this. I'm a little nervous.
So excited to have you. And thank you so, so much for being here and being willing to tell your story and to share with everyone, and to
you're
put
welcome.
This out there.
Yeah, you're welcome. The reason I wanted to do this when Suzanne asked me was I was really at a place where I had no hope of a future. And even to be able to talk to both of you tonight is amazing to me. Every day I wake up is a miracle.
That right there. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you were, you know, what was going on. And then I'm going to let you two, like where, what was going on when you came in to see Suzanne, and then you can go from there, like, you know, in your session, like what was going on, and I'm going to let you guys go from there. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, Mary, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, what had happened was I have always had poor health ever since I was very young. I was about 7 when I started having really severe stomach problems. And I had stomach bleeding all the time. I was in and out of the hospital so many times a year just to get the fluids in and everything. But it was really around the year 2000 when I started having heart problems. And I wasn't really sure what was causing the heart problems. And we went back and forth for years trying to find out what it was. The pain was really bad. And I found out slowly that there were many, many problems with my heart. I had tachycardia. I had high blood pressure. I had an arrhythmia. Just so many different things going on. And what happened was, is in 2008, it was January 2008, I had always been dealing with the pain, but I felt a ripping in my throat, and I was kind of going in and out of consciousness. And so my youngest son was home, and I made it into the room where he was and said, call your dad first and then call 911. I knew it was bad. Whatever was happening was bad. And all I kept thinking was, is please don't let me die in front of my son. I can't think of anything worse than being alone with a young person and having them go through that and that memory. And to make a long story short, I ended up being flown by Flight for Life to the University of Madison, we're in Wisconsin, and had to have an emergency open heart surgery performed. I had a descending aortic aneurysm happening, and on top of that, I also had valves that needed to be repaired. So I'm not quite sure how long the surgery took, but it was a long time. And I came out of that. I did have a very unusual experience while I was under. We could talk about that later sometime, but I did make it. I pulled through that. And continued to live a life full of limitations. I have diabetes. I have still had my stomach problems, fibromyalgia, and it was just like one thing on top of the other. So by 2014, I was starting to have a lot of problems again, and I ended up going into the hospital. And I didn't go Flight for Life, but they drove me up to Madison, and I had another aortic aneurysm forming, and that was in my ascending aorta, which is up toward the arch of the heart, where it arches up near your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I was in ICU. And they were preparing me for surgery. And then I had a group of doctors come in because it's a teaching hospital. University of Madison is a teaching hospital. And so you don't just have one doctor, you have many. So there's lots of doctors to argue with. And they basically told me that there was no reason to do surgery because I wouldn't have made it. And I was in there for a couple days while they tried to bring my heart rate down and my blood pressure down. And the last person I saw before I checked out of the hospital was a psychiatrist. And he told me that I had a ticking time bomb in my chest, and that one day it would blow. And they gave me 6 months to a year to live.
Wow.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit to your, when you came to me to have that appointment, how were things looking for you at that point?
At that point, I was pretty hopeless. I had no hope of planning a future at all. The saddest part of that is my son had just gotten married, and him and his wife would come over, and we would sit and talk, and I just started crying one night saying, you know, I know that you kids are going to have children. I'm going to have grandchildren that I'm not going to see. And my son said, you know, Mom, why don't you look at Dolores Cannon's website and just read through it and see what you think. And so I did, and we all three of us agreed that what was there to lose, really? There was nowhere I could go for any type of, another consultation for a surgery or anything. It was pretty much hopeless at that point. So I knew that I wanted to find the best practitioner I could. So I looked under who was the level 3 practitioners, and Suzanne, you won. You were the closest to me in Iowa.
Well, I feel like I won meeting you, Mary.
Suzanne. Yeah, so I emailed you and asked you some questions, and we made our plans to drive out there to see you. And I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, well, you know, and Mary, explain to them where you were at in that 6 month to 12 month diagnosis that the doctors had given you at the time of your appointment.
So I had gone in the end of September 2014, and they'd give me 6 months to a year. And so 6 months, I figured, was if I can see Christmas, if I can at least spend Christmas with my kids, I'll be happy. And I was trying everything possible with God. You know, if you can just get me to Christmas, I'm going to be so happy, God. And you could take me and, you know, and we got through Christmas, which I was astounded. And so it was, I think, in maybe July or August of 2015 when I finally contacted you, Suzanne, and we made our appointment for October, which scared the hell out of me because then it was a month past my year. And
Can I say I didn't know that at the time?
Yeah. Well, I was a little nervous when you gave me, you know, the later appointment, and I had said, "Do you have anything earlier?" And you're like, "No, I'm completely booked." And I said, "You know, I'm thinking to myself, should I tell this woman how bad this is, or should I just go with it?" And so my gut instinct was to go with it because I'm a big believer, and if it's meant to happen, it will happen.
That's faith. That's great.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if I can start, you know, in comes Mary, and bless her heart, you know, as is with every one of these sessions, you know, it's such an honor to hear the clients tell the story about their life. And, you know, that alone is a very healing experience, because how many times in our life do we really have somebody sit across from us who genuinely wants to know, how has your life been?
Yes,
and so
yes.
Sweet Mary starts sharing with me her life, and as is every human life, it's been challenging. And as we know, Julia, you know, in this great work of Dolores, we know that our life issues will affect our physical body if we're, you know,
absolutely
having the same scenarios over and over again and not understanding how they affect the physical body, right?
Absolutely.
So when Mary was telling me her story, it really made a lot of sense. I mean, bless her heart, it just, she was at such a critical juncture of survival, but her...
I'm listening. She's saying all these things going on, and I'm like, okay, so what's going on? What's going on? You know, yeah. What's going on in her life? Okay.
Well, bless her heart, she had, you know, Mary had brought in to me several pages of questions for her session, 2 full pages of health issues. So, I mean, we had our work cut out for us that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart was very much affected by Mary's marriage. And again, no judgment at all, because it can be a very challenging scenario, this human marriage thing. But it really had affected her health. And when we got to the part of the hypnosis, oh my gosh, Mary just went in so beautifully and had her, you know, the story of the past life that her subconscious wanted to share just was perfect, spot on in helping to understand why she was going through what she was in the current time. And, you know, we say subconscious or high self that comes through. Mary actually had a high council that came through.
Nice.
And they were the bomb. I mean, I tell you what, when that high council came through, they just got down to work and they started going through the body, doing a body scan. And, you know, it's not often that in the midst of a body scan or in the midst of talking to the subconscious or the high council, that I go, say what? But, you know, because, I mean, we hear it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what was so beautiful was when they started talking about what they were looking at in the heart, they're so efficient that, you know, I'm going to back up a little bit, because energetically, that part of you that knows everything, for Mary, it's the high council, can absolutely energetically correct anything. Because when the body is out of alignment, it's trying to give us a message. Once we have the message and understand, then it can heal and move on, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, say that again, please, Suzanne, because that is a point that people need to understand.
Exactly. It makes such sense when you just put a little thought to it. And as we know with Soul Speak, your book, and with Dolores' work and all of our work, the body is such a very literal message giver. So the heart is always tied into relationships. And so this high council was so amazing. It, as it's looking at the heart, and I'm thinking it's going to look at the ascending aorta, because that's really where the problem was. The descending had been operated on. It goes down to the descending. It says, oh, hey, we see here that something wasn't repaired correctly, so we're going to go ahead and fix that one, too. And I'm just thinking, well, sure, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm.
But,
they'll do that. Well, while we're in here, might as well do it.
Right. And so, you know, then that's when the, oh, my gosh, is really started happening, you know, as a practitioner listening to this work, because they start talking about how they're wrapping the heart with this special material that was produced on a golden loom. And here's the kicker, on another planet. that's where I'm going to say, what? And that this material was going to keep her heart repaired. And that they described it as being stronger than steel, lighter than air, and if a scalpel were to touch it, it would break.
And well, that's what I needed. They knew I needed something strong.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We weren't around at this point.
Right. You know, and again, so many layers of miracles in the session as far as understanding how the life circumstances were affecting the body. And, you know, one thing that was just so beautiful with Mary was that she knows. She was telling me when we were talking before she went into hypnosis that she has a gift of being able to take on other people's pain. Is that right, Mary?
Yes.
And yes. This started when you were younger, like a child, right?
Yeah, it started, the way I started knowing something was different was when I'm very devoted to animals. I love animals. And when I could start feeling their emotions, I knew something was different. And then started feeling, being able to pick up on people's emotions and feelings when they weren't feeling well. And that was a huge one. And it's so hard to try to be open and be friendly and be welcoming with people, knowing that, gosh, what are they bringing towards me? Because there were times I would just get terribly sick and out of nowhere. And I would finally realize, I don't think it was me. Mm-hmm. It must have been them.
Well, you know, in your high council really explained that beautifully, saying that, you know, yes, it is a gift. And for most people, most connections you had, animal or people, you dealt with it in a healthy manner towards yourself. For the most part, you could take it from them so they wouldn't have to experience it. And then it moved, I think, through you is what they said.
Yes.
But for some, you held on to the pain or the issue or whatever it was. And that is what was affecting your body. And because of your deep love for your husband, throughout the time that you had known him, you had voluntarily taken any of his pain or issues and kept them. And you didn't do so well of letting go of those. And so that's what was really causing a lot of the issues, was her deep love and wanting to him not to hurt. Mm-hmm. Good intention, right? But when you can't let go of it, it will start affecting your own physical body. And so there we started to have this very interesting conversation with the High Council that said, you know, because she does this so well with others, that's good. But here, it doesn't really serve him because she takes his lessons that he's meant to learn.
Yeah, and that does not help him at all.
No, well, but then Mary is, I mean, this is such a fascinating session. Mary came up just a little bit and started having this outward conversation with the High Council. And she said, no, you know, I want to take this pain and it's okay. And the High Council would come back and they say, no, you may not, you know, because you're taking his lessons. So I'm looking at one person, but we're having two conversations.
What, Mary, you argue with the council too?
Yeah, I'm stubborn. I'm sorry, but
no. Hey, I understand.
Julia is in your club, Mary.
Yes, I am.
If you know me, I'm just the sweetest, quietest person in the world, but I have a terrible stubborn streak. It's only in rare circumstances that I will dig my feet in. And it's usually, God help them, it's usually with doctors and nurses. I feel like I know my body so well. And so,
yeah, but that's good. That's it, good. You do.
It, yeah, it is. But I just wasn't having any of this letting go.
No. And so, you know, and it was really interesting. This argument didn't last long because the High Council finally, like, kind of abruptly stopped it and said, listen, here's what we've decided, is that she can no longer have this gift of taking pain away when it relates to him. She can do it for other people, that she does it in a healthy way to herself, but she no longer will be able to do it for him. And I mean, that was like the end of it.
End of discussion.
Yeah, you know, it's like, wow. Mm. But, you know, here's, you know, I'm going to go ahead a little bit. Mary and I had a really lovely conversation the other day, touching base. And
can I ask a question first before we go a little further?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if this had a connection to past lives or anything. Does this go back?
Oh, gosh,
Does this have a lineage to it? Because it sounds like it must have something. It must have connections here.
Definitely, Julia. Oh, my gosh. This goes back, I don't even know, Suzanne. What would you say, eons?
They're almost always together.
Yeah.
Not always in the capacity of partners, but almost always.
That's what I wondered. This sounds like this is like a strong bond that, and maybe I'm taking something away that you were about to say. I don't know.
Go ahead and tell them.
Okay.
Go ahead and say it, because It is. It's a soulmate connection. And that was one of the most powerful things that I saw during my session was the creation of the soulmates. It was just so moving.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Suzanne. I'll let you take over.
Well, you're doing great. What I was going to just mention was that it seems that they haven't had a real successful full lifetime together. It's always been a big challenge somewhere or another, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, in knowing Mary since October and getting these updates from her and staying in touch, where, you know, there's a part of you that when you listen to the story, you kind of think, wow, you know, he didn't treat her very good, and you don't want to be a big supporter of him. But you have to really look at this from a very high perspective, and what a magnificent teacher he has been.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and like this, you have to take all of it into perspective. We have to go backwards, and we have to go forwards, and we have to look at the really big picture, like you just said.
Yes.
Yes.
This has all come from me trying to take on trying to look at a bigger picture and not only focusing on this one little part of our lives together. We've been together 30 years. We're still married, and we're working through some stuff. And the thing is that he gave me a gift. He gave me the gift of releasing me so that I could finally find what I had been looking for my whole life, knowing that there was more than just this everyday being a mom, being a wife, you know, doing all this stuff, where I had known there was so much more, and that we were together for a reason. And since my session, I truly, truly believe that now. Because I was able to see it with my own, I don't know, not my eyes, but my spiritual eyes.
Well, and I think too, you know, when I heard the story, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Mary, you know, how can you stay with him? But, you know, at the end of her telling her story, bless her heart, she says, I just love him. I was like, okay, Mary. And then we go back and we find out they are soulmates. They're meant to be together, you know, and bless his heart. He's had at a point of being a little bit forgetful about how special their connection is. But in his forgetfulness, he's been this magnificent teacher. And so you really can't judge a book by the cover. You know, this is really that lesson of what a magnificent being he is. You know, it makes you look at many things in anybody's life and say, hold on, you know, this might be way bigger and different than what you're perceiving it to be.
Yeah, I think the soulmate connection is so much more than everybody thinks. You know, everybody says, oh, I want to meet my soulmate. I can't wait to meet my soulmate. Soulmates are, it's a hard relationship. It's a hard, real, raw relationship. Sometimes you hurt each other. And if the love is there and you can look at a higher perspective of it, I think those make the best relationships. But I won't say it's easy. It isn't easy being with a soulmate. They are the opposite of you usually. And you complement each other. But sometimes they need to teach you some really hard lessons. And I think that was the case here. That he pushed me away to save my life.
Right, because if we can say a expand on that just a little bit. At one point, he had you literally leave the house. He kicked you out.
Yes.
And from the outside, that looks so horrible because it was right around the time of your diagnosis, correct?
Yes, it was right before my diagnosis. And what happened was is I had a breakdown. The pain that it caused was so deep. But if I hadn't had that happen in all those perfect steps, I would not have ended up at the hospital and I would not have known what was happening to me.
Well, you know, and your high counsel said that that gift of that separation time in part was you had your own place, you had your own computer, you could research spirituality, you could quiet yourself, and even more beautifully, the high counsel said, even though he couldn't remember at that moment this connection between the two of you, that was an act of love because on a very deep level, he knew he was harming you by you staying with him. And so by him pushing you out actually was a life-saving mechanism that even he couldn't comprehend in an awake state.
Yes. Yes, it's true. Yeah.
So, you know, and so if, you know, from that, I want to move ahead just a smidge here, where after your session, and there are some things that got corrected immediately during the session, but there are some things that your high counsel says, this is going to take about a year. The heart and everything is going to take about a year to really fix, because we were kind of in pretty dire straits there. But it said Mary thinks that her life was ending. And we're here to say she hasn't begun to do what she came here to do. And that is to heal herself. And that she has all these medical records. And that one day she will be speaking in front of doctors and nurses and others and holding up these records that look like nobody can come back from this and say, I did this. I healed myself. I did this. And what a teacher that she would be because of where she came from and where she went to. And that is already happening, right, Mary?
Yes, in a very strange way. Yes, it has happened. And actually, I didn't realize it until we spoke, Suzanne, because I did end up speaking my truth of what was happening. And the doctors and nurses were coming to me and asking questions.
Because they said that nobody has survived what you've survived, and they wanted to know, how did you do this, right?
Yes. Long story short, I had to go in for my cataract surgeries. And they do it a couple weeks apart. I was almost completely blind, which was terrifying being alone. And I think that's why they let me go through that. That was a very strong lesson to learn, to be able to take care of myself and to face the fear of having that surgery done. But while I was there to get my eyes operated on, I had several nurses and doctors and anesthesiologists asking me to explain what happened, because no one usually survives this. When your heart, when these aortas, there's three layers to your aorta, and I was down to one on both of them, one, you know. And they just said, you know, we have people come into the emergency rooms and they're telling us their symptoms, but we don't know what it means. And so I was able to explain to them how it felt and what the symptoms were and why I was still here. because no one usually survives this. And Julia, you were a nurse, I believe.
Yep.
And
yes.
You probably know about that.
Yes, I do. I've seen them go the other direction.
Yes, it's very rare to survive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
John Ritter died from this. That's what killed John Ritter, was an aortic aneurysm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Mary, where are you at? If you would list off what has improved since your session in October, what would you say at this point?
Okay. As of now, I see perfectly well. I am so excited for that. My back pain is so much better. I can do much more than I used to be able to do before. I would need to just, oh my gosh, grab a chair as soon as possible to sit down. No more chest pain at all. And I haven't had a CAT scan done yet. Suzanne, like I was telling you, I wanted to give my body the whole year to heal before I go in for another CAT scan. So that will be interesting on what they're going to say for that. Mm-hmm. Stomach is probably 85% better. I'm able to actually do things without worrying, is there going to be a bathroom? You know, where am I going to find a bathroom at? And diabetes we're still working on, but it is improving. So it's good. It's looking good.
Well, you know, and I think too it's important to talk about, you know, it's one thing to come in and have this session, have this amazing experience, and then not only to have some things already feeling better, you know, immediately after, and hear this recording and hear how everything in the life has had an effect on how the body is and what healing has been done and what's coming down the road and what you can do to help keep the healing in place while all of that goes on. But talk to us about what it's like to wrap your head around trying to take all that information and put it into play, because I think that's a really important subject for people to understand.
Yes.
That could be in a real, you know, a health emergency and want to have a session and know, you know, it's not like a magic wand that, boom, everything's changed and it's never going back, right?
No. I feel like it's a process. I've lived with this my whole life, different forms of illness, and it wouldn't make sense to me, I guess, if someone just snapped their fingers and said, well, you're cured. Because I feel like every obstacle that we have to live through is in some way teaching us something. And being sick as a child, I wasn't able to go to school a lot, but I learned a lot. I learned about even showing a person that is sad or something or down, giving them just the littlest bit of hope and how much that would help them to improve. This isn't just something that... you know, we're not here just to be here. We're here. This is our school, and we're learning and evolving. And there's so many lessons to learn, and this is all part of this. And everybody has issues. Everybody has problems they need to work through. They could have physical problems. They could have emotional problems. They could have spiritual problems. And this doesn't just deal with one issue. This deals with your entire body. Mm-hmm. And being able to, during the session, I was told of different things to look forward to. And that has given me all the hope that I need to know that my life isn't over yet. There's still more healing that is going to be happening. There's still more experiences that I have to experience. And really to give everybody just this little ray of hope that you might think that you're at the end of your rope, whether, you know, you're in a bad situation, you know, maybe you're terribly depressed and you just feel like you can't climb out of that hole. And I have been there, and that's a really deep hole to climb out of. But going for my session, it helped every part of my being.
Well, you know, and that it's a big thing to think about here, because you really have to change your mindset. Mm-hmm. And how, because you really come in, I mean, it's exhausting being sick, you know, and especially when it's been for a lot of your life, you know, and so your thoughts are used to, you know, kind of going into victim mode, and, you know, you can't really concentrate on a lot of spiritual growth when you can't get out of bed or, you know, function. But yes,
that's true.
That information that you give yourself in the session, you know, you're the source of all the information in the session, really hits home, because you can't dismiss it. It's coming from you, this part of you that knows everything, that loves you unconditionally, that has the whole big picture of all of your lives, all of your experiences. And so it can take a little while for your head to really wrap around the understanding that you can be healthy, and that you are healthy, and that you can maintain your health and your happiness, and that you can change parts of your personal life so that you can support your body in health. And it's a big step. It's a big way of reworking and rewiring that brain.
Yes, definitely. It definitely is. And I feel like it's a work in progress. My body is still healing. And we had talked about, you know, listening to my session.
Right.
And that is huge, huge, huge. I usually listen to my session before I go to sleep at night. And I told you, Suzanne, it's like listening to a mom read you a bedtime story. And so I am off my my sleeping pills, thank God. I'm actually off of two of my pills, my sleeping pills and one of my heart pills.
Yay!
Fantastic.
I know. And it's very important to listen to the tape. It really is, because there's so many parts of it that even I'll forget, or if I, you know, sometimes there'll be a little bit of a lull with me listening to the tape. You know, you'll kind of cut back a couple weeks, or I've even gone a month without listening to it every night. And I'll listen to it, and I'll hear something, you know, not new, but something that's relevant to this time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and that, I think, is what is so amazing about this recording, is because that's one of the main reasons it's meant to be a one-time scenario. People shouldn't be dependent to come back and come back and come back again. One time should be it for almost everybody. Mm-hmm. And every time you listen to that, your high counsel, your high self, your subconscious is so utterly brilliant. It has coded infinite layers of information into that recording. So every time you do listen to it, like you say, Mary, you're going to hear something in a different way, or it's going to be more relevant. But most importantly, what we found out recently is, you know, listening to the words is so important, because it helps make sense of why things have been the way they've been. It's good for the brain to understand that, the mind. But more importantly, what we're finding out is the vibration and frequency of your voice, particularly in that mode of the high counselor, the subconscious, is what the cells of the body and the energy of the body are coming into alignment with. So, you know, that's mind-blowing in and of itself. And you said, Mary, that when you listen to your recording, you just feel better, right?
Yeah, I do. And it does. The funny thing is I think when your high council or your subconscious is talking to you and relating all this in your session, they know, obviously, what's coming up in your life. And I believe that there's some stuff that you'll get and understand right away. And there's other stuff in there that it's not time yet. And so if I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, or, you know, my blood sugar's been kind of bad that day or whatever, I love sweets. Oh my gosh. That doesn't help. But, you know, I'll put the tape on as I'm falling asleep. And there's just, you know, there'll be one or two things that'll really stand out to me for that day. And it's just, wow. And then you wake up in the morning and you feel so refreshed.
Okay, I want to, before we run out of time, there's two things I want to do very quickly. Suzanne, very quickly, can you tell people how they can contact you if they want to?
Oh, sure.
Something that you wanted to tell people about what happened to you in the hospital while you were in the hospital. So Suzanne.
Okay, sure. People can reach me via my website. It's probably the easiest, and it's just my name, Suzanne Spooner suzannespoonerqhht.com. And my contact information is on DoloresCannon.com and QHHTOfficial.com. Pretty easy to find under the level 3 practitioners there.
Super.
And then, yeah, Mary, tell us about what happened with you and your revelation that you had in the hospital.
Well, during my surgery, and I don't know how long that surgery was, to tell you the truth, It was quite a while. I know it went into the wee morning hours. Well, I had a trip. And
a near-death experience?
Near-death experience, yes. My second one. And this one was very different from anything I've heard, which caused me to really, really doubt what had happened. But the truth of it really hit home. I was sucked out of my body into the tunnel. Everybody talks about the tunnel, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But I was greeted on the other side by my maternal grandma. And she's this little Italian lady, and, you know, she's a little spitfire. And she said that I could stay there while I was having my surgery and rest. And I was brought to a very specific area, and it was called, she called it the waiting area, or I would even say a resting area. I was able to see some of my relatives that have passed, and God bless them. I was able to see my animals that I have met during my lifetime, and it was a very healing experience. It seemed like I was there for a very long time, so I don't know if there's a time difference or whatever. It was very, very comforting, though. And even though my grandma told me that I would definitely have to return, but I was welcome to wait there and rest, when she came to get me for me to go back, let's just say I was not happy. And I protested very loudly. And my grandma is Italian, and so she was waving her hands around, and I was waving my hands around. And we were going at it because I did not want to go back. And I was very upset that I was being able to see what I was seeing and the comfort that I was feeling, knowing that I would have to go back to this body that was not in good shape. So I wasn't a happy camper. And she finally, in no uncertain terms, you are going back, young lady. And that's what she did. She sent me back, and I was pulled and pushed back through that tunnel, which, Suzanne, I think I mentioned to you the other day that I'm pretty sure that's a wormhole.
Yeah, I thought that was a fascinating option. You know, I think, I mean, that kind of makes sense, don't you think, Julia?
It very well could. I mean, who is to say? I mean, these things are crossing so many lines anymore. So, and I hate to say that we are out of time.
Oh.
So in this, we've crossed that line. So, but Mary, thank you so much. I think we may have to have a part two, like you said, Suzanne.
I know, it's just such a great story.
This is such a wonderful story. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us, Mary and Suzanne.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much, ladies.
Yes. And thank you, everyone, for being with us. And we'll see you again possibly next week. We'll see what happens. Good night, everyone. We love you all. Thank you.
Good night. Good night.